would like us this evening to consider the subject, receiving the well done of God. We want to consider tonight one of the verses we have here before us that mention the well done of God. Matthew 25 and verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. As the days of the Lord's earthly ministry brought him nearer and nearer to Calvary, we discovered as we read through the Gospels that the Lord Jesus spoke more and more about the kingdom of heaven. He told parable after parable, all relating to the kingdom of heaven. This chapter before us begins with the parable told by the Lord Jesus concerning the five wives and the five foolish virgins. And this was a parable, as we see from the opening verse, relating to the kingdom of heaven. In the telling of this story, the Lord was emphasizing, He was emphasizing the need for preparation. He was emphasizing that no man or no woman is able to and will be permitted to enter the kingdom of heaven without adequate preparation. All 10 virgins were aware that the bridegroom was returning. None of them could plead ignorance. They were all aware that the bridegroom was about to return. They were all aware of the bridegroom's imminent return. But 5 of them had made no preparation for that return. The bridegroom came at the midnight hour, but 5 of those virgins had no oil in their lamps. And so when they went to buy oil for their lamps, the bridegroom came and entered into the house for the marriage supper, and the 5 wise virgins entered into that house with him. And then the door was shut. All who had made preparation were shut in. But those who had made no preparation were shut out. And they paid the price of having made no preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. The obvious truth being taught by the Lord Jesus, of course, is to enter into the kingdom of heaven, a man must make preparation. Prepare to meet thy God was the message that Amos preached to Israel. Prepare to meet thy God. It is true. It is so very true that many today have made no preparation for the return of the bridegroom. Because as sure as we're gathered together here tonight in this meeting, the bridegroom cometh. One day the Lord will return. And many will be woeful. The next parable found in this chapter and told by the Lord Jesus also deals with the kingdom of heaven, and indeed naturally follows on from the one before. In the parable about the five wise and five foolish virgins, the truth there was that was being taught was the need for preparation. They were to be diligent and make preparation. And here in the parable about the talents, the lesson once again is clear that in the absence of the bridegroom, we who are the servants of the bridegroom are also to be diligent. Yea, we are to be up and doing. We are to be busy. We are to be about the master's business. We are to be working in his absence, because the day is coming when he will return. And indeed he will want to know what we have done and what we have accomplished while he was away. To those who had carried out his will, worked for their master while he was away, upon the Lord's return they will receive the well done. Surely, believer, that is something we all are looking for. Surely that is something we all are striving for and striving after, the well done of God. Because at the end of life's journey, it's all that will matter. Not matter a whit about anything else we have. All that matters is what we have done for Christ. What have we accomplished in his name? And when we stand before him, and we will one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ, will we receive the well done of God? Will the Lord, as he sits upon his throne, say to you and say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant? Oh, I trust that that is what I will hear. I want to hear the well done of God. And oh, may we all strive to that end. Let us learn then from this parable. Let us learn about what we can do in order that we might receive the well done of God. We also will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy life. First of all, we see in this parable the Lord or the Master commissioning his servants. According to the parable, the last thing the Lord did was to commission his servants. Look at the beginning of our reading there, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And now we read, and straightway took his journey. And so we gather there from verse 15 that this was the very last thing the master of the house did before he took his journey. He didn't do anything else. It was the last thing he did. And this is consistent with our Lord and our Master. Because the last thing the Lord Jesus did before He took His journey and returned to His Heavenly Father was to commission His servants. Leading them out to the Mount of Olives and bidding them farewell. The Lord Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you always." And He sent out His disciples. He sent forth His apostles. He gave them a work to do. They were to occupy until the Lord would come again. There was a work for them to do. And believer, there's a work for us all to do. Surely this emphasizes the importance of working for the Master until He comes. If it was the last thing He did and said to His disciples, to commission them and tell them to go and preach the gospel. Surely it emphasizes the importance of doing that very thing. Preaching the gospel and spreading the good news that Jesus saves. Because He will return. Want to know what we have done with the gospel. First of all, let us look at His disciples. We're told, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants or his own disciples." Notice how it is put here by the Lord in this verse. He called His servants. No, it doesn't say that. It says He called His own servants. This shows us that the Lord had, first of all, claimed these servants as His own. The master of the house had claimed them as His own. These servants belonged to this Lord and to this Master. They didn't belong to anyone else. He had bought them. He had paid for them. They were His. They were not to serve some other master because they didn't belong to some other master. They belonged to the one who had bought and paid for them. And the words, "His own servants," might be used to describe you and I. For we are the Lord's own servants. We belong to Him. We no longer belong to the God of this world. Because the Lord Jesus Himself has bought and paid for us. He has redeemed us. The word "redeem" means to be bought back, or to be bought out of the slave market. And the Lord Jesus, when He came into this world, went into the slave market. And He found you and I, slaves to sin, slaves to the God of this world. And then He went to Calvary, and there He shed His blood, and there He laid down His life. That was the price He paid. And when He shed His blood for us and laid down His life for us, we put our trust in Him. And He became our Savior and He became our Lord. He also became our Master. He became our King, and we are now His own servants. We belong to Him. Paul emphasized this when he wrote that first letter to the church at Corinth. He reminded them, he said, "Ye are not your own." You don't belong to yourself anymore. We were just discussing that matter this morning. Some of the brethren downstairs saying that so many professing believers today are not willing to live for the Lord or live unto the Lord. They want to live for self. They want to run their own lives. They want to order their own lives. They don't want to put the Lord in charge. They don't want to put Him on His throne. The throne, namely their own hearts. And really, they're saying with the Jews, Christ was led away to be crucified. They said, we don't want this man to rule over us. Sadly, there are many professing believers like that. There were some in the church at Corinth. And that's why Paul had to remind them, ye are not your own. You're not to live unto yourself. You're to live unto God. You're to live for the Lord. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought. You're bought with a price. Are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the price that was paid. May not be a mission. May not be called to be a preacher or a teacher. The truth is, we belong to the Lord. He has bought us, and we are His own servants. We are His servants. The moment He bought us with His own blood, the moment He claimed us as His own, we became His servants. Notice something else. Not only did He claim these servants, He called these servants. What does it say again? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. And then it goes on to say, and delivered unto them his goods. That tells me something. That tells me that these servants received the call of their Lord and they responded to the call of their Lord because they came to that place where He was able to give to them personally His goods. He was able to divide His goods amongst them. So He had called them and they had responded. They had come. And there they were before Him. And there He distributed His goods unto them. They responded to the Lord's call. It is evident that these servants readily responded to the call of their Master and Lord. Dear child of God, are we prepared to show the same readiness, willingness to respond to the call of our Lord and our Master? Because it is evident that once He called His servants, they responded. Oh, may we be ready to respond to the call of the Lord. It may not, as we have said, be a call to the mission field, or a call to the pulpit ministry, or a call to teaching children. the Lord has a work for us to do, because remember, we are His old servants. He wants His servants to be busy. So we can still be busy doing a work for the Lord until He comes. Not only do we have His disciples, but we note here regarding the master or the Lord of this house, His distribution. When the Lord called His servants, we are told that He delivered unto them His goods, verse 14. Says that He delivered unto them His goods. And unto one He gave 5 talents. Now, a talent is a weight measure. It may have been a talent of silver or talents of gold. I have no idea in present day language what a talent of silver be worth. But I know a talent of silver in Bible times may have been worth $1,000. Much more. And here one of the servants received 5 talents. So we see that what was given to the servants by their master was something of great value. The first thing that struck me about the distribution of the master's goods was that this master readily trusted his servants with his own goods. And here we have his trust. He trusted the servants with his goods. He trusted them not to lose what He had given them. He trusted them to put to good use what He had given to them, because they were to take those talents and they were to use them for the good and the benefit of their master. We see that from our text. For when 2 of the servants were able to come back and say, so the one who was received 5 talents, he was able to give his master 5 talents more. And the master said, well done. And the one who received 2 talents was able to give his master 2 talents more. And he received the well done. And so they were to use the talents for the good and the benefit of their master while he was away. They were entrusted with these talents. And the Lord has given talents to us all. Maybe to some He's given 5, some 2, some 1. But He's trusting us with those talents. And they're precious, and they're valuable, and they're His. I give the turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. There Paul refers to something of greatest value that was given to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And here's Paul and saying, I'll have to answer to God one day for how I have used the gospel that He has given to me. He has put me in trust. I better guard this gospel. And I better defend this gospel. And I better preach this gospel. And I better spread this gospel. The Lord has put me in trust. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Paul here again is speaking about the gospel according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The Lord was pleased to trust the apostle with the gospel. Dear child of God, whatever talents the Lord has been pleased to give to us, they are His. They are valuable, and He's trusting us with them. He gave to Paul the talent of preaching the gospel. And my, what a preacher he was. And how he used that talent. We've already noted that today. He went everywhere preaching the word. Even when he was in prison, he still preached the word. He still preached the gospel. He preached it at Rome, in Ephesus, and Colossae, and Thessalonica, and Philippi. And wherever he went, he preached the gospel. He knew it was precious. He knew his great responsibility. He was aware that he must take care of this. Of course, he wanted to see returns on that talent. He wanted to see souls saved, because the salvation of souls would bring honor and glory to his Lord and his Master. He didn't want to stand before his Lord on that great day in heaven, bearing nothing but leaves. Having nothing to set before the Lord. Having nothing to present to the Lord. You have his trusted servants. Then you'll notice here that the parable speaks about three servants. We're told that he gave unto one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. 3 servants received talents from their master. 3 servants were all put in trust with these talents. We may wonder why. Why he did not divide his talents more equally, as it were, among the servants. Why did he give one man 5? And another servant 2. And the 3rd servant just 1 talent. Well, we're told the reason. We're given the reason. But we are told there in that verse 15, and unto one they give 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. According to his several ability. Remember then that a talent is a measure of weight. And so that tells us that the man who received 5 talents was carrying a greater burden than the man who had just 1. Whatever the weight was, it was multiplied 5 times over for 1 servant, and twice over for the other. And the Lord, or the master of the house, knew what man he could trust with 5, and the one he could trust with 2. One had the ability to carry 5 talents. The other had the ability to carry 2 talents, and the other had the ability to carry 1. So it is today. The Lord will give us talents according to our ability. We've all read, I'm sure, something of the life of C.H. Spurgeon. and often I am amazed. The Lord gave him. He was to use that talent. Thank God he used it to the full. Prince of preachers. They came from all over to hear him. 5,000 at every meeting. There were those occasions when he had to tell his own congregation to stay at home. And that allowed 5,000 others to come to hear the great man preach. But he not only had the talent of preaching, he had another talent given to him. He was a great writer. He was a great commentator. He was a great expositor of the Word. I have in my library 3 large volumes called The Treasury of David. It's Spurgeon's commentary on the Psalms. Where did the man get the time to do a commentary on the Psalms? He wrote another commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. Given the talent of a writer, an expositor, a preacher, a pastor, and so it goes on, an evangelist. And they were all heaped upon the shoulders of Spurgeon. Why was I not given all those talents? Why was I not given the ministry of Spurgeon? Because the Lord knew I didn't have the ability. You look at our moderator. And people are often amazed at the workload that our moderator has and the work that he gets through. We listened to that tape of that video the other night of the conversation between Dr. Paisley and the late Pastor Mullen. And in the course of that conversation, Dr. Paisley mentioned about preparing his daily tape. And what Dr. Paisley used to do, he used to go to the martyrs and he would be there at 5 o'clock in the morning in the recording studio, preparing a tape for every day of the month. And he would preach a message on that tape. 30 messages, 31 messages for some months. And he would be there in the martyrs in the recording room at 5 in the morning. Could we do that? Every day? Then, of course, given the talent of and the great preacher that he is, the moderator of a church, the pioneer of a denomination, and a politician of 3 parliaments. Could we do that? No. We're told that the Lord of this house gave to every man according. Of course, the Lord knew what he was doing when he gave all those talents to Spurgeon and all those talents to our moderator. We look at those men. We see indeed that they are able men. And to others he gave too. And dear child of God, if the Lord has given us 2 talents, then that's all we'll have. Will never be the servant who has 5 talents. But we have received of the Lord 2 talents. And the Lord will require as much of us as he requires of the one to whom he gave 5 talents. Look at at that verse again, verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Now, whenever the Lord speaks to us about service, what do we say? The first thing we say is, I don't have the ability. How can I do this, or how could I do that? How can Dr. Paisley get through the work that he gets through? How did Spurgeon get through the work that he did? Well, the answer was there in that verse 15. Because the word ability is the word in the Greek that is dunamis. It's the word for power. And the Lord told the disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. It's the same word. They would receive Holy Ghost power. And you and I wonder how we can do whatever the Lord asks of us and do what He wants us to do. He will give us the power. We don't have the ability of ourselves, but the Lord will give us the ability. He will give us. So the servants received their talents, so they received the goods from the hand of their Lord. And they were to use those goods and those talents to the glory and honor and the benefit of their master. Notice his departure. Not only his disciples and his distribution of his goods, but his departure for, as we've already pointed out in verse 15, it says, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Straightway. He went immediately. But before he went, he gave his servants their talents. In other words, he gave them something to do. They were to do something with the talents they had received. This surely teaches us that the Lord wanted His servants to be active. It was not the will of the Lord of that house for His servants to be idle, to be slothful during His absence. And I don't believe for one moment. I don't believe for one moment. It is the will of our Lord that in His absence, we should be idle or slothful. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 7. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And you read on through the chapter and you come to verse 11 or verse 10, and he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. In other words, the Lord Jesus gave out these gifts. He has called and equipped apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that they might work for Him in the Lord's absence. They're to attend to the Lord's flock. They're to feed the flock. They're to preach the word. They're to evangelize. They're to do all these things in the Lord's absence. And we are, believer, to be active. We're to go work in the Lord's vineyard. And whatsoever our hand findeth to do, we're to do it with our might. The Lord wants us to be active. And happy is that believer, happy is that Christian, oh, happy is that Christian who is active for the Lord. But also teaches that they were to be alert. For it says that after he had distributed his goods unto his servants, straightway took his journey. And I'm sure the servants wondered, when is our Lord and Master coming back again? That would have kept them alert. We better be found working today. The Lord, our Master, may come back today. And the Lord has taken his journey. But the Lord, our Bridegroom, is coming. I wonder if, say, by some way or other we knew that the Lord was returning at the end of this week. I'm sure we would be busy this week, because you and I know that there are a lot of things that we need to attend to, and we don't have much time if the Lord were to return this week. Loved ones to be reached. There are loved ones to be witnessed to. There are loved ones to be told their need of Christ before the Lord comes back. We need to attend to it. These servants didn't know when their Lord would return, so they needed to be busy making good use of the talents that have been given to them. Notice also the Lord and the conduct of the servants. The master of the house had given his servants talents to be used for him in his absence. And we see that two of the servants put their talents to good use. Notice that their diligence was rewarded. For we are told in verses 16 and 17, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He got down to business straight away. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. They were diligent. And their diligence was rewarded because they doubled the number of talents that they had. Now, if they were able to double what they had, If the one started off with 5, and when his Lord came back, he had 10. And the other started off with 2, when his Lord came back, he had 4. That means that he had 100% profit. In other words, when his Lord came back again, he was able to give him 100% profit. On the talents that his master had given him before he left. He gave his master 100%. That's why, upon his return, the Lord said unto him, well done. O believer, surely the Lord deserves 100%. Surely the Lord deserves from us our all. Or as Wesley has put it, I would the precious time redeem and longer live for this alone, to spend and to be spent for them who have not yet my Savior known. Fully on these my mission prove, and only breathe, or only and only breathe. My talents, gifts, and graces, Lord, into Thy blessed hands receive, and let me live to preach Thy word, and only to Thy glory live. My every sacred moment spent to publish forth the sinner's friend. That's giving. Giving Him 100% return on what He has given us. So we notice then the diligence of these servants was rewarded. But what about the other servant? Here we have his dreadful reasoning. For the servant who was given just one talent by his master wasted. Now we know why the master only gave him one. Can you imagine what waste there would have been if the master had given to him the five? What a waste. But it was still a waste. For we read in verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord. Then when the Lord came back again, he gave an excuse that he thought his Lord would accept. He thought his Lord would accept the excuse. And my, whenever you look at his excuse, it's hard to understand. For we read in verses 24 and 25, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He was quite proud of the fact that he had at least kept the one talent, and he says, well, here it is, it's thine. And he thought that excuse. Though there will be those who will stand before God with their excuses. And the sad thing is, they think that their excuses will be accepted. Though there thou hast that is thine. Instead of using his talent that the Lord had given to him, he went and hid that. Notice something else about this servant's excuse. There was no love in it. It was void of love for the master. What did he say? Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. There's no love there. And where there's no love for the master, there'll be child of God, it's the love of Christ that constrains us to go out and use the talents that the Lord has given to us. Whatever that talent is, whatever those talents are, whether it's five or two or one, let's use them and use them for the Lord. Then you'll notice something else. You'll notice the day of reckoning. For we read in verse 19, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There's a day of reckoning coming. The Lord reckoneth with them. That day of reckoning will come when the Lord will demand His returns upon the talents that He's given us. And how sad it would be if we were like the unprofitable servant who profited nothing of what the Lord gave him. Indeed, what he was given to him was taken from him. And there he stood in his poverty. God, save us from that. May God save us from standing before him in our poverty, like the barren fig tree, no fruit, bearing nothing. Lastly, you have the Lord commending His servants. Verse 19, it says, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them to the first who received 5 talents and had doubled it and made it 10. The Lord said unto him, well done. The well done came eventually. Came after, we're told in verse 19, after a long time. Now we labor for the Lord, and we wonder when the day of reward will come. We labor for the Lord, and we do not see any reward at the end of our labor, and we wonder, will it ever come? Oh, it'll come, all right. It may be after a long time, but it'll come eventually. And eventually we'll receive. Not only will the well done come eventually, it'll come personally. For you will notice in our text, verse 21, His Lord said unto him, it was a person-to-person meeting. He didn't gather all the servants together at once. No, He met with them personally, one-on-one. The Lord will meet with us personally. Just that we will all receive personally from the Lord the well done of God. And it came wonderfully too. Verse 21 again. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. From a servant to a ruler. From being put in charge of a few things to being put in charge of many things. In other words, the servant was being promoted. One day we'll be promoted. Promoted to glory. And when we're promoted, maybe with the well. Eventually, personally, wonderfully, and joyfully. For the text also says, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. The servant had just received the well done of his Lord. And may we also receive that well done also from our Lord. We will enter into His joy. Oh, the joy of having served the Lord here on earth. And oh, the joy that we will have when we see the King and see the Master we serve. And oh, the joy that will be in our hearts when we receive the well done of God. Well done, my good and all the Lord looks for is faithfulness. My good and faithful servant. The Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Dear loving God and gracious Father, we pray that as Thy people we might indeed strive for the well done of God. The Lord will be like the one who came and anointed thee prior to thy burial. And, O Lord, when the disciples cried out against her, we thank thee for those wonderful words that came from thy lips. Let her alone. She hath done what she could. Lord, help us to do what we can. Help us, Lord, to do what we can. Serve the Master in the place where Thou hast called us. Lord, grant that the return upon the talents that Thou hast given us will be 100%. May we not serve Thee, Lord, less than our all. Write the word in our hearts tonight. Gracious God, use us. Glory of thy name. Be with us as we leave the house of God. Bless all who have a little further to go. Bless our brother Marshall and our sister Merdina. Yea, Lord, be with us all. Whether the miles we travel are few or many. And as we travel, may we meditate upon the word. Be with us, Lord, until we meet again here in thy house or on higher ground, around the Master's feet. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away.